Tonight, they're all free. The final daring rescue from the cave. After 17 nights trapped, all the boys make it out alive. And tonight, new health concerns as the boys are quarantined at the hospital. Breaking news on a plane crash in Alaska. Crews scrambling to find the wreckage in heavy fog. And late word, everyone on board survived. Inside the court fight that's just getting started, new details about the nominee and how the president made his pick. President Trump slamming our allies before meeting them face to face in Europe as the head of the EU warns, stop attacking us, America. You don't have that many friends. The miracle in the forest, a race against time. A police officer hearing a faint cry, finding a baby buried alive.
When I heard that baby murmur, I was so happy.
The infant saved, a man now under arrest. And George Clooney rushed to the hospital after a frightening crash, the latest on the star's major scare.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone. The sheer jubilation over the successful rescue of 12 boys and their soccer coach from a flooded cave extends far from Thailand tonight. The soaring emotional ups and downs of their 2.5-week-long plight in many ways brought the world together. And this evening, the world is sharing in the joy of the boys' families whose prayers have been answered. The final group emerging from their dank underground prison today, all thanks to the brave rescue teams who were determined to succeed despite the loss of one of their own. Our Bill Neely was there for the final rescue.
Free at last. Lifted gently, saline drips attached. One small boy's nightmare is over. Behind him another, the daylight so bright, their faces were covered with blue cloth. Today's rescue of the final four and their coach was the fastest.
Well, these boys have had the longest ordeal, 17 nights in the cave.
The rescue commander, cheered by the world's media. We finished, he said, what no one ever thought we'd achieve. The Thai Navy SEALs asked if it was a miracle or science. These the last four to leave the cave.
You must be very tired, yes?
And they left exhausted. Doctors overjoyed.
Very happy, very happy.
Divers overcome with relief and emotion, celebrating with a beer.
We feel very happy. Well now done. We need beer and we need well sleep. Done.
They had risked their lives.
Good day. It was a very good day.
Yep. Their bodies cut.
It was a tough week, a couple of weeks. Yep.
Happy.
Happy.
Cave mud everywhere. It's 8 days since the boys were discovered trapped in the dark.
13. Brilliant.
The trigger for a daring, dangerous rescue. Success seeming unlikely. Divers, including Americans, drilling and digging, wading and battling to save 12 young lives. One Thai diver losing his life. The boys, weak in body, were strong in spirit and so brave, diving for hours to escape to a victory today, snatched from the jaws of a cave. Bill Neely, NBC News, Chiang Rai, Thailand.
I'm Janice Mackey-Frayer at the hospital, where crowds erupted, cheering the final ambulance's arrival. The 12 boys and their coach in good health, doctors say, two have minor lung infections. All will be quarantined for up to a week because of high risk of illness. Their families can see them through windows, but not touch them. Some have spoken on the phone. In 48 hours, the boys' families can visit in gloves and gowns, but keep their distance.
They're quarantining them for a couple reasons. One is so these children don't spread any disease to anybody else, because we really don't have that much data on what happens inside a cave when there's children there for weeks on end.
The danger is mainly diseases transmitted by bats and fungal infections from soil or water. And after days in the dark, all of them are wearing sunglasses around the hospital to protect their eyes. These kids are soccer players and are healthy and strong. They have high immune systems, said doctors. Psychologists say they're in good mental health, but could face challenges like anxiety or depression. The 25-year-old coach, a former novice monk, credited with keeping the boys alive. For the most part now, they're just really hungry. Each of the boys down 5 pounds. They're stuck eating bland food for now, but asked doctors for chocolate, a wish that was granted. J. Janice Mackey Frayer, NBC News, Chiang Rai, Thailand.
And we turn now to another survival story. This one's still developing right now in southeast Alaska, where all 11 people aboard a rugged seaplane have been found alive and rescued after the plane crashed on a remote mountainside. NBC's Joe Fryer has late details.
Tonight, after an urgent rescue mission in the mountains of Alaska, 10 passengers and their pilot are safe, all of them survivors of a plane crash. The aircraft, a single-engine float plane, similar to this one, was scheduled to fly from Steamboat Bay to Ketchikan. But officials say it crashed this morning on Mount Jumbo, which is on Prince of Wales Island. With the clock ticking, a Coast Guard helicopter battled rainy, foggy conditions to reach the crash site, tree-covered terrain about 2,000 feet above sea level. The helicopter then hoisting passengers to safety. On Twitter, officials said it was reported that 11 people from the plane crash are alive. Extent of their injuries is unknown. And tonight, officials are telling us that amazingly, all of the injuries appear to be minor. The passengers were taken to a staging area set up by the rescue team. NBC News has confirmed all 11 survivors are now being taken to a hospital in Ketchikan. Lester.
All right, Joe, thank you. Now to the court fight, as we said, that is just getting started as Brett Kavanaugh starts to make the rounds on Capitol Hill. We're learning more about the nominee and how the president made his decision. We get it all from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams, who broke the news to the country last night that Kavanaugh was indeed the pick.
The ritual of Senate courtesy calls began with an easy one, Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
I think the president made an outstanding nomination.
McConnell privately urged against Kavanaugh's nomination, arguing that his 25-year record in government would bog down the confirmation. Now considered most in play, the votes of Republican Senators Collins and Murkowski and Democrats Donnelly, Heitkamp, and Manchin. Kavanaugh did seem an unlikely choice, a loyal aide to George W. Bush, chosen by a president who frequently criticizes the Bushes. But this morning, no second thoughts.
Brett Kavanaugh's gotten rave reviews, actually from both sides.
Some conservatives lobbied against Kavanaugh, citing his dissent last year in a court battle involving a teenager arrested for illegally entering the U.S. who wanted to be released from detention to have an abortion. Kavanaugh said she had no right to an abortion on demand and could wait until she was released to a sponsor. His critics say he should have ruled that she had no right to an abortion because she's not a U.S. citizen and was here illegally. And in 2011, when the court upheld Obamacare, Kavanaugh dissented, saying a federal law prevented the court from deciding the case. His critics say he should have gone further and concluded that Obamacare was unconstitutional. But more strategic conservatives hope that by floating Kavanaugh's name as a possible nominee, Justice Kennedy would be more comfortable retiring if he thought he'd be succeeded by a former clerk. And some in Congress say the president believes he'll get yet another Supreme Court nomination anyway and decided to choose a judge this time who seemed to him to be more moderate. Kavanaugh's past suggests he wouldn't be on the extreme right.
Based on Judge Kavanaugh's long record, I think we can safely say that he's going to end up somewhere in the middle of the conservatives, not the farthest to the right.
And here's a picture from 25 years ago taken near where I'm standing outside the Supreme Court. That's Justice Kennedy and his law clerks in 1993 with Brett Kavanaugh next to him and Neil Gorsuch on the other end. If Kavanaugh gets confirmed, that would make history. Two former clerks of the same justice serving on the court together. Lester.
Pete Williams at the Supreme Court. Thanks. Hours after announcing his pick to the court, President Trump left on a 7-day trip overseas. First stop, Brussels, where he will meet with NATO allies after leveling a new round of public attacks on them today. All this leading up to his high-stakes summit with Vladimir Putin. NBC White House correspondent Kristen Welker has more from Brussels.
President Trump coming out swinging, touching down in Brussels late today after raising tensions with the very allies he's poised to meet here at the NATO summit, calling them delinquent on Twitter from Air Force One, and before leaving, accusing them of failing to pay their fair share on defense.
We pay far too much, and they pay far too little.
While only 5 of 29 NATO nations have met their spending commitments set for 2024, the rest still have years to meet the target. Today, the president of the EU firing back.
Dear America, appreciate your allies. After all, you don't have that many.
It's a bitter backdrop for the president's four-country trip, all culminating in a high-stakes face-to-face in Helsinki with Russia's President Vladimir Putin.
Frankly, Putin may be the easiest of them all. Who would think?
That conciliatory tone toward Putin adding to concerns among some allies that President Trump is failing to rein in Russia. Today, the president asked if he sees Russia as a foe.
I really can't say right now. As far as I'm concerned, a competitor. It's a competitor.
Senior administration officials insist the president will confront President Putin over activities which could include meddling in the U.S. election. But with the president taking a softer public tone, is it enough to calm jitters? At last year's summit, the president ignored diplomatic protocols, even pushing past a prime minister. Now President Trump could be redefining America's friends and foes on the foreign stage. And tonight, the war of words continues with President Trump defending his harsh trade tactics, including against some NATO allies. But some Republicans are warning it would be disastrous if President Trump had negative meetings here and a positive one with President Putin. Lester.
Kristen Welker in Brussels for us tonight. Thank you. Tonight, dozens of the youngest migrant children who were separated from their parents at the border have yet to be reunited with their families. The Trump administration missing that court-ordered deadline to return the children to their families, as 3,000 other children remain in limbo. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is back on the border for us tonight with more.
Tonight, a Guatemalan father is in agony in Los Angeles, waiting to be reunited with his son in New York. The last time I tried to speak to him, he says, he was crying and he asked me, "Don't you love me anymore?" The government now says it expects just 38 of 102 migrant children under 5 years old will be reunited with their families by the end of the day, despite a court order. The remaining 64 children not reunited for reasons including parents with criminal records or incomplete verification.
Well, I have a solution. Tell people not to come to our country illegally. That's the solution.
This mother, Digna from El Salvador, asks in frustration, why was it so easy for them to take our children, but so hard to give them back? She breaks down when she describes the gut-wrenching moment she said goodbye to her son and daughter more than a month ago. I hugged them and gave them a kiss, and I said, "Don't worry, I'll be back for you."
If the laws are broken, you know, there's a process for them.
Today, we rode along with a border patrol as more migrants, including mothers with children, turned themselves in seeking asylum. Still, the government says arrests at the border were down 18% last month.
Has zero tolerance been a deterrent?
Of course it has.
Today, Mario from Honduras was able to see his 10-year-old daughter at an El Paso shelter for the first time in more than a month.
What's been the hardest part? ¿Qué ha sido lo más duro?
Not knowing how she is, he says. While a few have had emotional public reunions, tonight thousands more children remain in limbo.
The Department of Health and Human Services says it has under 3,000 separated children in its custody. After today's deadline with those younger children, a federal judge has ordered that children 5 and older be reunited by July 26th. Lester.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez in Texas tonight. Thank you. Now to that rescue. First responders are simply calling the miracle baby. It happened outside Missoula, Montana, when police learned a 5-month-old baby was buried in the woods, left alone for hours. The infant had been abandoned under a pile of sticks in the frigid wilderness. After searching overnight Sunday, an incredible discovery. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has details.
A needle in a haystack is what police were looking for. Out of daylight and running out of time, deputies near Missoula, Montana say they were told by a man they had just arrested he abandoned and buried a 5-month-old somewhere in the mountains.
We had law enforcement officers from almost every jurisdiction converge to the area to help find this child.
Responding to 911 calls from Lolo Hot Springs, sheriff's deputies say Francis Crawley was acting erratic when he told officers he dumped the baby boy he was caring for in the wilderness. Search teams scoured the forest for 6 hours. Then at 2:30 a.m., a faint cry beneath a pile of debris. Posting this photo of the baby gripping the finger of a first responder, authorities say the 5-month-old was cold and wearing a wet onesie.
When I heard that baby murmur, I was so happy. I was more happy than hearing my own daughter's cry for the very first time.
Today, Crowley was in court facing multiple charges, but tonight, the baby boy is in protective custody. The rescue, a miracle on the mountain. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
What a heartbreaking story, fortunately, with a good outcome. There's more ahead tonight. First, they made the seats smaller. Now airlines are taking away even more space from you in the sky. Outrage over shrinking plane bathrooms. Also, the latest on actor George Clooney, the superstar involved in a scary accident on his way to the set in Italy. If you haven't yet boarded a flight for the family summer vacation, be prepared. The bathrooms on board, especially on some of the newer jets, are smaller than ever. Aircraft manufacturers have shrunk the lavatories to add more seats so airlines can add more profit. But now many airline passengers complain there's barely enough room to move. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
No, it's not your imagination. Those lavatories in newer Boeing and Airbus planes have shrunk.
Turning around and trying to shut the door. It doesn't work very well. It's hard.
So small, it can be tough to move, change a baby, wash your hands, or breastfeed. A miserable squeeze for tall or overweight travelers.
I'm 6'8", and them bathrooms is real small. I can't even fit in the bathroom, so it's not that good.
It's not just passengers who are complaining. Flight attendants say less elbow room contributes to shorter tempers and air rage. But just about every major airline is doing it. To make room for an additional row of seats in the cabin, the wall around the lav has shrunk. The newest lavatories on a 737 are 22.4 inches across at a passenger's chest level when seated, roughly 3.1 inches narrower than earlier models, with the sink getting squeezed.
So this is all about revenue. It has to, if you can add an additional row of seats on your aircraft and you put that across your entire fleet, you're looking at millions of dollars of additional revenue for the airlines.
I may just hold it. 12 hours.
The airline industry tells NBC News it invests in ways to maximize personal space in the cabin while maintaining a level of comfort passengers expect. A travel tip to remember, the lavatory at the front of the plane is often a bit bigger, though you may have to be a first-class passenger to use it. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
And by the way, space isn't the only thing disappearing on planes lately. Coming up, we're going to tell you about Southwest Airlines ending something a lot of passengers are used to. And caught on camera, the threat in the air whipping through a major American city. Tonight, George Clooney is on the mend after a scary crash on the Italian island of Sardinia. Clooney flying off his scooter after a car cut in front of him at an intersection. The 57-year-old actor was taken to the hospital in an ambulance where he underwent an MRI exam as a precaution. Officials there say his injuries are not considered serious. Now to a jaw-dropping sight in Arizona. Pretty dramatic time-lapse video showing a massive dust storm blowing through Phoenix. The dust blocking out the sun, knocking out power, and grounding a number of flights. This is monsoon season for Arizona, which often brings a threat of high winds, hail, and torrential rain. And it's the end of an era for Southwest Airlines, which announced today it will stop serving peanuts on flights beginning August 1st due to allergy concerns. United and American no longer serve peanuts either. But if you need a snack in the sky, Southwest will still offer free pretzels. When we come back, your ticket to the spectacular summer light show that can only come from Mother Nature. Our nightly snapshot is next. Finally, tonight, I'd like you to meet the unwitting stars of what could be one of summer's most exclusive performances. Driven by pure animal passion, they come alive when the lights go down, generating oohs and ahs on a stage that only nature could build. Their show is on our nightly snapshot tonight. It's the hot ticket.
This is the best ticket in town.
With a limited engagement.
Seems like a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Move over, Hamilton. Mother Nature is about to put on a better show.
Right there.
This year, 21,000 people vied for 1,800 coveted passes.
They're all about to come.
Are they? Go find them.
To see.
Firefly.
But these aren't your backyard bugs. They're called synchronous fireflies.
They light at the same time.
For 2 weeks only in the Smoky Mountains, fireflies join forces to attract a mate.
What you'll see first are some of the males coming out, and they will start their flash pattern with 6 to 8 flashes.
Or to put it another way,
the boys are like, hey, I'm here. You want to go out? I'm here.
scary.
For spectators, that means 8 seconds of darkness. Then the twinkling begins, all at once. It's entomologist Becky Nichols' job to predict when the dazzling display will happen, months in advance.
It's a bit of pressure. We get pretty close most years.
Well, I was like, oh, there's probably just going to be a few fireflies and all that stuff, but there's a whole bunch.
An evening with the bright lights of Mother Nature.
Oh, look how close they are.
An unforgettable performance.
And one worth an encore. Tomorrow night at the end of the broadcast, meet a woman whose love of music has offered a lifeline to boys at risk in her community for decades. It will be in our Those Who Serve report. That is nightly news for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.